We are beginning a new book today, the book of Romans, with a little consternation, I come to the conclusion, we're going to Romans. So here we are in Romans. Paul, the apostle, is on his way to Jerusalem, and he stops to winter there in Corinth, and this is Paul's what we call third missionary journey, and he's there in Corinth, but he's there, and for a change, Paul does not have a teaching assignment. He has some time to meditate, to gather his thought, and his heart and mind go to the not a new church, but a church he hasn't visited there in Rome. So around 53 to 58 AD, Paul will write to this fellowship. And it's a fellowship of mixed Gentiles along with Jews, and it's there at Rome. But the Holy Spirit has warned Paul of what awaits him before he goes to Jerusalem. He will go to Jerusalem, then he plans on going to Rome. And now Paul will write not about the activities or the condition of the Roman church, but Paul will expound upon God's great plan of redemption. And he will do this in the book or the letter to Rome. The book of Romans is the doctrine book of the New Testament. After Paul wrote it, it was passed around among the other churches, and they distributed the book to the Romans, and it became part of the canon of Scripture. So let's look at what Paul describes as he writes to the Romans. And that's in verses 1 through 7. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he, speaking of God, promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scripture. Concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you are also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved to God, called to be saints, grace to you, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul describes himself as a servant, the lowest type of servant, a bond servant, called by God to be an apostle. And the word for servant there is doulos, or doulos, or whatever. And that means a servant who is under complete devotion to his master. Paul is totally and completely dedicated to Jesus. Paul is separated to the gospel of Jesus. This is not Paul's own private teaching, but it's God's gospel, given from heaven by God. And Paul, he's quick to point out, this is not a well-thought-out plan that I've put together of salvation. But he says, I'm simply a messenger. I just carry the message of Jesus. It has been said of us Christians, we are simply one beggar telling another beggar where to buy bread. And that's pretty good explanation of us. Paul talks how he was born of the Pharisees, in the Pharisee sect, I should say, a separating of the Jews unto the Lord. The Pharisees were more strict than the Sadducees. But now Paul says, I'm separated unto the gospel of Jesus Christ. In verse 2, God who promised through his prophets in Scripture. The message of salvation comes down from God. And for me, to know our Christianity is not some concocted fairy tale or story. I take some delight in that. Our forefathers didn't find some spectacles and dug up some document buried in the ground to come up with a plan of salvation. Our plan of salvation is from God himself. For from the beginning of man, way back in the Garden of Eden, God expressed his plan of salvation. And it's a plan of unmerited favor. God reaching out to mankind with love. Our salvation is not some good moral conduct message, but is the power of salvation through God the Son, Jesus Christ, who, by the way, was resurrected from the dead. Jesus, the Son of God, showing resurrection power over death. If you're going to choose a religion, you want one who's overcome man's mortal enemy, death. And Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, the singular Lord and God of all humanity, gives us his plan of salvation. As believers, we are labeled or called saints. Now, I don't necessarily look upon myself as a saint. Saint is kind of up here and I'm down in here. Saints. And that's a name or a blessing. Grace and peace came from Jesus and came from the Father. But when we write our letters or some type or email or communication, we will get around to saying who the letter or message is from. But notice Paul, he's up front. He tells the Roman church, grace and peace from God, and he tells them who he is. Now, this letter, copied and printed and passed around the churches all throughout Asia Minor and so forth, and Paul, he will encourage this body of believers that he did not establish. Paul usually wrote to churches that he had established, but the Roman church, it kind of burst forth spontaneously into existence. But let's get into the meat of the letter here, verses 8 through 15. First, he says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken up throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests if, by some means, now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and of me. Fellowship. Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered unto now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. In that day, there was a saying that permeated the civilized world: all roads lead to Rome. So, that being a truth, believers began to meet and worship there in Rome, and they didn't have what we would call a startup pastor. Paul is thankful for the belief of these Roman citizens, this Roman church, and he's thanking God through Jesus for each and every person that's of the faith that are found there. Do we thank God for fellow believers? I hope we do. When some unknown believer comes into our fellowship here, the question usually becomes, how did you come to know about Calvary Chapel? We are not a denomination. We're a wannabe denomination. But we are known as a Christian movement. There aren't too many homegrown Calvary Chapel people out there, especially here in the South. We seem to have migrated from all other places, and we're sort of identified with the Roman church. But Paul, he's a true apostle of Jesus, called by Jesus. And he wants these believers there in Rome to know that I'm praying for you. And he says, I plan on coming to visit you. And because Paul the Apostle feels he must impart some spiritual gift in order to help establish them, he explains that he is encouraged not only of their faith, but his faith, and they have a mutual faith that brings them together. Paul takes his position as an apostle, and he takes it very seriously. He's been called, he's been given the office of apostle, he's been enlightened in the faith, and he must therefore share. Paul has this burden to openly share the things of God with each and every person he meets, and especially to the different fellowships. And he desires to have fruit among the fellowship there in Rome that he's not part of. But Paul understands he is an apostle to Jesus Christ. And he will proclaim the gospel to all men and Jews. He wants to have his fellow Jews saved, but he's an apostle called to the Gentiles. Myself, I'm accustomed to preparing a teaching to share with you Sunday mornings. Sometimes good, sometimes not so good. Ignore the not so goods. But for me, I have a dilemma, or had a dilemma, and that was, which book do we move into after Hebrews? We were in Hebrews quite a while. Hopefully, it was Romans. That's where we're at. Hopefully, that's where the Lord led me. So for a few weeks, we will find ourselves journeying through the doctrine book of the New Testament. Paul desires are that he goes to Rome. But first he's got Jerusalem. He's going there to try to meet with his fellow Jews and make the feast preparations and so forth. But Paul, he's heard from God. He's been warned of God that trouble awaits him in Jerusalem. So, with trouble awaiting him in Jerusalem, Paul issues his first prophetic words in there in verses 16 and 17. Two verses. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, and for the Jew first, also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. These two verses introduce the theme of Romans in this letter. Paul, the more we read of him and study him, we realize he is definitely a type A personality. Before his conversion, Paul had found it necessary to come against Jesus and the followers of Jesus. He persecuted the church. Not only opposed this new group of believers that are outside of the Mosaic law, but he wants to persecute them vehemently. To do this, he wants to stamp out the group that is known as the Way. But Jesus had other plans for Paul, and he encounters Paul on the road to Damascus, and he encounters Paul in the form of a bright light. A light so strong, so severe, that it knocks Paul to the ground. Now that's a bright light. And Jesus asked Paul, "Why are you persecuting me, Paul?" And this is a question Paul must answer. But during Paul's conversion, he's told by Jesus how he must suffer for the truth of Jesus Christ. And this about face that comes in Paul's life brings him to a commitment for Jesus which is unparalleled. Paul is, without a question, the greatest missionary of the New Testament. And he's committed. And this he cannot just lay aside. He is committed after his conversion to Jesus totally and completely. This commitment commands that Paul proclaim Jesus and his salvation to all who will hear him. And for Paul, he must declare, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For in the gospel, God's power is revealed to everyone who believes." Now, I had a little trouble with that verse as a young man. I wasn't ashamed of my Lord Jesus, but I was sort of ashamed of the churches that my mother dragged me to. They, in my opinion, were churches a little bit out of control, and there was some shame involved. I was afraid to invite my friends to go to church with me because somebody would act up. You know, somebody's going to get weird on us here. And so I didn't invite my friends to go to church with me. But God's power is revealed to everyone who believes. Most of us have seen someone that's been converted, someone that's been turned around by the power of Christ through salvation. We've seen them. And if you long, if you desire to see a miracle, look at a converted sinner and you see a miracle. There is no greater demonstration of God's power than to see a person that was totally dedicated to destruction and see and understand they now accept Jesus and his sacrifice and see the change in that person is one of the greatest miracles any of us can witness. For us to believe in the resurrection brings about a change. Christ can change us in a moment of belief. Our belief can go from death to life, from hell to heaven. by simply believing. That is power. That is the power of God. That God, by his all-knowing character, by his deity, can look upon a soul, an individual, and determine that soul, by believing, is now mine. Only God can see that. What amazing power that simply by our believing, our life is transformed. Verse 17, for in our salvation, the righteousness of God is revealed. The moment we receive Christ, our entire way of thinking changes. We become a new creature. That's called a step of faith. Some call it a leap of faith. I think it's very logical. Where we can know without a question or a doubt, the just shall live by faith. That's a concept that the world doesn't understand. There isn't, I don't think, one believer among us who hasn't wondered, how is it that I am now a Christian? What happened to me? The power of God through your belief. Many great past theologians, great saints of the past, have come face to face with the truth and the power of their salvation. The book of Romans has many converts. Augustine read these words in Romans and it encouraged him to believe. Martin Luther, his heart warmed up to the gospel as he heard, the just shall live by faith. And there's others. Frederick Goodell, G. Campbell Morgan, Linsky, all of these men looked at Romans as the book of faith, where faith and the road hit together and they merged and were converted. They became believers. We are given on our conversion the righteousness of God. That's something to ponder. The righteousness that cleanses us so thoroughly, it's just as though we never sinned. Completely pure and clean before God. And that is the power of God. I know I'm talking to a room full of believers, but if perchance you haven't believed, all I can urge you to do is believe. Our words don't change. It's the power of God that changes us. When we believe, we undergo a transformation that is glorious. I urge each and every one to simply, by an act of your will, believe and see what the Lord will do in your life. Amen? Amen. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. If you would like someone to pray with you about salvation, we'll help people in the prayer room. So make yourself available to it. Father God, I thank you for the power of salvation that you give us through Jesus. The sacrifice of Jesus dying and suffering for our sins is amazing. The fact that he died would have made him a martyr, but you rose Jesus from the dead. You didn't leave him in the grave. By your power, Lord God, he came to life again, giving us victory over death. What a blessing. We have the hope of eternity. We have heaven as our hope versus damnation. What a deal. And all we have to do is believe. Help us to believe, Lord. Cause us to turn and confess our sins before you and turn away from our evil ways and enjoy salvation. What a deal. We are blessed. Thank you so much for providing us a path of salvation. We give you thanks, and we forever will thank you, for it's our salvation. And we pray and thank you in Jesus' name.